In Matthew 17 and verse 20, Jesus, he said, "For assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." Great things can be accomplished not only for ourselves, but more assuredly for the Lord, if we put our faith and trust in Him. This evening I want to look at an example in the Bible of a mustard seed and a mountain. And I want us to be able to see in this example just what can be accomplished if we have that kind of faith. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul here is Israel's first king. It was the people's choice, not God's choice. But they had been battling the Philistines for years and years and years. And of course, Saul did not obey God. And Samuel had told him that the kingdom of Israel would not be in Saul's hands for much longer. Saul had started out initially with 3,000 men. Now he's down to 600 men. There's only two swords among those 600 men, one for Saul and one for his son Jonathan. They were facing the Philistines, who had a huge advantage over them. They had a huge army, and they had all kinds of weapons. But I want to pick up this account in 1 Samuel chapter 14. I want to look at the first two verses here primarily. "And now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side.'" Now, I don't know why, but he didn't tell his father what he wanted to do or what he was going to do. Saul was sitting on the outskirts of Gilead. He was sitting under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And as I mentioned earlier, there were 600 men with him. We're not told why Jonathan decided to sneak off. But I think as kids, when we were growing up and we'd sneak off and not tell our parents where we were going, it was for an obvious reason. Because chances are the first thing we would hear was, "No, you don't. You're not going there." I don't believe Saul probably would have approved Jonathan's plan. Now, the Philistines that he was going up to see had set themselves up in a very strategic position. It was high up on a hill. And in order for an attacking army to get to them, they would have to go up that hill. If you know anything of the geography, the Philistines occupied the land between Israel and the Mediterranean Sea. From about where our house is on US 25, there's a plain. And then you start getting into rolling hills. And then as you get closer to the Dead Sea, about 30 miles, then you start hitting the mountains. And they are very rugged mountains, not the beautiful mountains we have here, but full of rocks and all kind of obstacles. If you wanted to get to them, you had to climb. And that is exactly what Jonathan and his armor bearer were going to do. As we continue in verses 6 and 7 of that same chapter, it says, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised, and it may be the Lord will work for us, For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by a few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you, according to your heart. You know, if we look back and we go, if we go forward to Hebrews chapter 11, we find in there a whole list of men and women who accomplished great things because of their faith. And from this text, we can see that Jonathan had the same kind of faith in God. Now, Jonathan at this point wasn't sure how God was going to help him. But he knew in his heart that if God was on his side, that he could defeat this mighty armor. And his armor bearer had that same kind of faith as he was right there with him. This is the classic kind of example of faith that Jesus had in mind that could move mountains. Jonathan's faith in the Lord and his ability to level the playing field despite the odds was all that he needed to push himself forward, even though others may have said it was impossible to do. Think of the situations we may or may not have been in our lives, where we were able to accomplish some things that others thought would be much too difficult. And what was able and what helped us get us over the hump and be able to do the things that needed to be done? You know, sometimes it's just a matter of telling a person something they really truly needed to hear, but no one else had the courage to say it. This is the kind of faith that we all need. We should face our battles and struggles of our life trusting in God, knowing that He will bring about the best results for us. It was Paul that wrote in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all these things work together for good for those that love the Lord and to those who are called according to His purpose. See, we walk around life oftentimes thinking we're all alone. We don't allow our faith to give us the company that we need. We think sometimes and oftentimes that we have to do this alone. But we don't have to be alone or do anything alone, as long as we have faith in God. You know, it's not always easy to push forward, especially when we don't know for sure how God is going to help us. Just as in the case here with Jonathan, he has no idea how God is going to aid him in this insurmountable task. But Jonathan was willing to try. So we must put our faith in God and realize that He will make things work for the good, whether we expect it or not. Having this kind of faith will not only help us deal with the struggles of life, but it will also help move us closer to God and not be afraid to tell others about Christ or warning others about the consequences of turning their backs on God. Having this kind of faith can motivate us to be like many other Christians who refused to deny their Christianity, even when they saw their family members being eaten by lions, or when they were burned at the stake. If more Christians would have the faith of a mustard seed, think about how much could be accomplished for the Lord's kingdom today. In verses 8 through 10 in 1 Samuel 14, the Bible says, then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves to them. And if they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hands, and this will be a sign to us. It is during this time that God would show His people signs and how oftentimes in the patriarchs he would speak directly to them, and this time he would speak to the prophets, and the prophets would relay him those messages to the people. But this doesn't happen anymore for us. God's word is complete, and it is in our hands. So we have no need of the prophets, because God has already given us everything that we need for a righteous life. Jonathan here is going to know if God would be with him to defeat these mighty men, or if he would stay where he was based on their response. In verses 11 through 14, it says, "So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, 'Look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden.' Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer, and he said, 'Come up to us, and we will show you something.' And Jonathan, he said to his armor bearer, 'Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel.'" Now you can get an idea of the steepness of the hill they had to climb. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after them. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within a half an acre of land. 10-1. 10-1. And you know, if it had been Dennis Stein climbing that mountain, by the time I got to the top, there wouldn't have been enough breath of me to even lift a sword. I know Jonathan is probably a much younger man than me and probably in a lot better shape. But the task was no less daunting. Can you imagine how scary it must have been looking up and seeing all those warriors above you? Just a simple act of rolling a rock down the hill could have been catastrophic. It's just you and one other person facing those odds. I can just imagine, if it was me, how insignificant I would feel when the multitude said, "Come up and see something." So we have to think about Jonathan and his armor bearer and what they were about to do. And we can truly appreciate the amount of faith that they had in God. Their faith paid off. And 20 of the enemy fell before them. So now we're going to see just how God is going to help them even more. In verses 15 through 23. And it says, "And there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled. The earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was a multitude melting away, and they went here and there. And then Saul said to the people who were with him, 'Now call the roll and see who has gone from us.' And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, 'Bring the ark of God here.' For at that time the ark was with the children of Israel. And now it happened, while Saul talked to the priest, that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, 'Withdraw your hand.' Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went into battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was a great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. And likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard the Philistines that had fled, they also followed hard after them in battle. And the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Bethaven. As we think about what happened in this place, at this moment in time, you can't help but be reminded of what Paul wrote in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? You see, the mountain that Jonathan faced was the Philistines. And Jonathan's faith was that mustard seed. And that mountain was moving. God had caused a great earthquake, and it continued to shake the camp of the Philistines, and it scared and it confused them. It confused them so much that they started killing each other. I don't know how many of you may have ever experienced an earthquake. I'm not talking about, you know, the ones we have here, 3 or 4 magnitude. Sometimes maybe even a 5. But I remember when Vicki and I were stationed in Japan, and I just got on duty that morning, and I was standing outside and we were checking out our equipment, and the next thing I realized, the building was swaying and the concrete ramp kind of had waves in it. And it was all you could do to stand up. And me and the other 2 guys that were with me, we started walking out away from the building. But we had no idea what was coming on. Alarms all over the base were sounded, people running here and there. There was confusion and there was panic. It was here that Saul realized that Jonathan had started what he had started. And Saul and his men came out and finished destroying that mountain of Philistines, that Jonathan began moving with his faith. You see, God wants us moving. God wants us on the offensive. And the only way to stay on that offensive is to have the kind of faith that Jonathan had. Because we will be able to face the mountains, even if it's just 1 or 2 of us, and win the day. Because what we start, God will finish. This is what faith as a mustard seed can accomplish. And we all can have that same kind of faith. All it takes is a great commitment and a trust in God. If we can learn to have at least half of the faith that Jonathan had, we can accomplish a great deal for the Lord. How great is your faith? In our song books, there's a song number 432. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. It is a tremendous song. The more our faith develops, and the more trust that we put in God, whatever comes our way, we can move it. The possibilities that are before us are endless if we just have the faith of a mustard seed. If you're not a child of God, faith has to be developed. Paul in Romans 10:17 says that so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the only way, place we can develop our faith is in God's word, no other place. Faith is not going to be bestowed on us as a gift. It is a process that is learned. We've all learned growing up to put our faith and our trust in our parents, in our families, in one another. But we have to learn and grow in order to be able to put our faith into God and place our souls and our care in His hands. If you're not a child of God, God gives you a way to put that faith into practice. Because it is by faith and believing in God's words that is going to cause you to rethink your life and to bring about that heartfelt repentance, that change in your life that you're willing to make, where you can repent and then confess that Christ is the Son of God and then be baptized for the remission of sins. Maybe you are a child of God. Think about the level of your faith. How strong is it? What mountains do you need moved? God can help if we put our trust and faith in Him. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?